In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Bonaventure, and he is a great luminary, not only in the Church, but especially in the Franciscan Order. He is referred to as our second founder. Of course, the first founder is Saint Francis of Assisi. But Saint Bonaventure became a bishop, a cardinal. He was the minister general, the head of the entire Franciscan order, and he brought about or renewed or encouraged, if you will, the spirit of Saint Francis within the order. For the ideals of Saint Francis are really far beyond our capacity to reach, and our human nature, we constantly fall short. And it is the love that Saint Bonaventure had for God that brought forth a renewal, if you will, in the Franciscan spirituality. He brought forth a renewal within the Church. And as this doctor of the Church, he was truly humble. He was recognized for his wisdom. He was recognized for his knowledge of sacred scripture. And so the popes have honored him. He became a bishop. He was appointed a cardinal. But we have a very interesting story about Saint Bonaventure. When the Pope sent the nuncios to go and tell him, you are to be a bishop, you are to be a cardinal, they brought the insignia, you know, the cardinal's hat and the sheep's skin. They brought all of these things to him. But when they found him, he was washing the dishes in a little friary. And they said, we're here from the Pope, and we've brought these things to instill you in the office of bishop and cardinal. He says, just hang them on that tree branch over there till I'm finished washing these dishes. And that was the humility of Saint Bonaventure, a renewal of the humility of Saint Francis of Assisi. The most important thing for the religious is obeying the task at hand, obeying the order that has been given them. And personally, I've kind of conflicted on this whole idea, because Saint Bonaventure owes obedience not only to his religious superior, but also to the Pope, who is his spiritual superior. And so for him to say, oh, tell the Pope to just wait a minute, it creates a conflict for me. Which one do you put on hold? And of course, the most humble position would be to continue washing dishes rather than to respond to the Pope immediately. But we have this idea presented, especially in the religious life, to us over and over again. The early scribes of the Church who were writing out the Bible by hand and making books, it is said that when the bell would ring, calling them to divine office, to say the praises of God, as soon as they heard the bell, they would put their pen down. They would not even finish the word that they were writing. They would not finish the sentence or the paragraph. It wasn't, wait a minute, Lord. No, God has called, and immediately they put down the pen and go to answer the call of God. We have instances of individuals, even within the Franciscan order, when they received word that Saint Francis wanted them to go somewhere, they didn't turn around and gather their things up and get ready. No, they just started walking. He wants me to go to Rome. Which direction is what Rome? And they start walking. Not put away anything else, not go and take care of this, for they took the Gospels of our Lord literally. And our Lord told us, in the end times, when the moment comes, don't turn around to take your cloak. Don't worry about this, don't worry about that. When it's time to flee to the mountain, leave everything behind and go. There's no time to waste, for you are obeying the call of God. And as religious, this is emphasized to us over and over again, even in the littlest things. As religious, we have a schedule. When the bell rings, or now the alarm on my cell phone, it is not someone else calling me, but it is God. At this time, this is what God wants me to do. I need to be able to drop everything and go. And so we have this idea in the religious life. But what is more important? To go and pursue the honor and glories of this world, or to pursue the humble obedience of Christ, the simple things, the little things? And it is said, if you're faithful in little things, the big things will take care of themselves. If we are faithful in our prayers, the other works will get done. Those scribes who set down their pen as soon as it was time to pray, they did finish transcribing the Bible. They did eventually finish their work. But recall, this is a lifetime work. This is not just something they do in 10 minutes or an hour or a day or a week or a month or even a year. These monks dedicated their entire life to this task. And yet their names are not recalled. They did not wish to sign their name to any of it. This is the holy work of God. And I ask you to consider Saint Bonaventure and his humility. Though he was a great doctor of the church, he was a bishop, he was a cardinal, he was the head of the entire Franciscan order. All these honors, all these glories were his. But what made him worthy of these positions? Worthy of all the praise that we now pour forth in his honor? What made him worthy of all of this was his profound humility. His profound desire to follow Christ, his unwavering dedication to serving God. And it is related that he once said to his best friend, St. Thomas Aquinas, they both went to school together, they had the same teachers. But he said to his companion, St. Thomas Aquinas, that all his wisdom, all his understanding came from the study of Christ crucified. Not some theology book, not some life of the saint, but from studying Christ crucified. And as we behold Christ crucified and we contemplate his crucifixion, we contemplate his sacrifice, we contemplate the renewal of that sacrifice upon our altars, we begin to see, we begin to understand God himself. And in that is true wisdom. And I emphasize quite frequently in my sermons that if we are to be Christ's true disciples, he's made it clear, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and come follow him. Saint Bonaventure saw this very clearly. Saint Francis did too, but we're focusing on Saint Bonaventure. Saint Bonaventure looked upon our Lord crucified, meditated upon the crucifix, attended Mass, prayed the Mass himself as he beheld Christ crucified. No greater love has any man than to lay down his life for the brethren. And this is what he beheld in Christ. And this is what Saint Bonaventure sought to imitate. And this is what brought forth his wisdom, his understanding, his greatness. And the greater the world tries to make him, the more humble he becomes. And I say this to you, not that we should strive after the glories of St. Bonaventure. Oh, I need to be a bishop, a cardinal. I need to be the head of the entire Franciscan order. I need all these worldly honors and titles and all this glory and celebration. If we think that is what the lesson of St. Bonaventure is about, we've missed it altogether. For all these glories mean nothing to St. Bonaventure. His true honor, his true glory is to serve Christ in washing the dishes, to serve Christ in humble obedience, to serve Christ in his fellow man. For truly the saints saw in one another, they saw in everyone around them the image and likeness of Christ. They saw in their fellow men Christ crucified, Christ suffering. And they recalled that our Lord said, "What you do to the least of my brethren, you do to me. You give a cup of cold water to someone who is thirsty, you have done it to me. You forgive an injury that your neighbor has inflicted upon you, you have done that to me. You are kind, compassionate, understanding toward your neighbor. You are kind and compassionate and understanding toward me." And I ask you, just consider what the world would be like if we all looked at one another and served one another as if we were looking at and serving Christ himself. We have occasions in the lives of the saints where the saints have served some poor man, some leper, some despised individual. And it turns out that in doing so, it is revealed that they have been serving Christ himself. You never know what you're doing, to who you're doing it. You never know someone else, what they're thinking, what they're going through, what problems they have. And so it should be easy for us to say, "I forgive them. I can overlook this. I can pardon that. I can help them. I can understand their struggle." And to do our part to help one another. Just stop and think for a moment what it would be like if everyone we saw, we imagined that that person was Christ in disguise. Christ has come hidden in this person. How am I going to treat him? What am I going to say about him? How am I going to act? What am I going to do? Do we want to be the one who insults Christ as we insult our fellow man, our neighbor? For if we insult Christ in our neighbor, we are no different than the Jews, the Roman soldiers who insulted Christ as he was on his way to Calvary. Every mockery, every ill word that was spoken to Christ on the way to Calvary, that is what we're speaking when we speak that way to our neighbor. What we do to our neighbor, we're doing to Christ. And if we could just stop for a moment and think of that, we would begin to control our tongue and perhaps not say such mean or nasty things. If we could remind ourselves, perhaps this person is Christ in disguise, and whatever I do to this person, I'm really doing to Christ himself, our words would be much softer, much kinder, much more forgiving. This is what the saints have done. They have taken the Gospels, the words that Christ has spoken, literally and to their heart. My fellow man is made in the image and likeness of Christ. Whatever I do to him, I have done to Christ. And it will be useless for us on the day of judgment when our Lord says, because you did not do this to the least of my brethren, you have not done it to me. We will have said, but Lord, when did I see you hungry? When did I see you thirsty? When did I see you naked and cold? When did I see you in prison? When did I see you in need? And for many, he will say, when you didn't do it to my brethren, you didn't do it for me. But for the saints who saw Christ in all of their fellow men, they too will say, Lord, when did I help you when you were in need? When did I offer you clothing when you were naked? When did I feed you when you were hungry? When did I do any of these things to you? When you did it to the least of my brethren. When you saw your neighbor in need and you reached out a helping hand, you did that to me. That was for me. And now you have a reward in heaven. The saints understood this. Saint Bonaventure understood this. And if there's any lesson for us to take home, it should be this: to love one another as Christ has loved us, to forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, to forgive as we would ask God to forgive us. And if we cannot really do this for the love of God, then at least do it for the fear of hell. For when we say the Our Father, we're asking God to treat us exactly the way we treat our neighbor. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, my neighbor who insulted me, and I held a grudge, and I keep holding that grudge. Lord, that's what I want you to do to me. Hold that grudge. I'm not worthy of forgiveness. Because I won't forgive my neighbor, and I don't want you to forgive me. Would we be so bold to put it in that text and continue holding a grudge? Continue insulting or harboring animosity, hatred, anger, revenge? We would not. And yet this is exactly what God is expecting us to do. Let go of it. Forgive. Love. Help one another. Because in one another, we see Christ in disguise, perhaps. It may be hard to see Christ in our neighbor, but he is there. And I often admonish those who are wavering on despair. I'm so evil. I'm terrible. I can't be forgiven. No, you're not completely evil. There's still some good in you. You say, how do I know? Because you're not in hell yet. If you were completely evil, you'd already be in hell. You're still alive. There's still chance. There's still something good in you. And you can still get into heaven. Don't give up. And so I tell you, don't give up on yourself, but don't give up on each other. But continue striving, working. And if you can espouse that theory, that idea, that practice, you too will begin to be wise. You too will begin to see Christ more and more, not just hidden in the scriptures, but in the entire world around you. Amen. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.